Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. For those listening on podcast, yes, the first segment didn't record, but you missed nothing. It's a big week upcoming. Tom's here. We've got the half-year Filthy Awards coming up later in the program, and a lot of news. Tom, what's going on?
Well, the man from Amazon just showed up at my house when this show was starting, and delivered two books to me.
Oh, really? So, what do you got?
Yeah. Well, they're both from Ian Douglas, who said that these are the two best books written on black history of professional wrestlers.
Oh, yes. I got those on the way, too.
So, here we go. Gentleman Jack and Rough Rufus. And then, just released today, I believe, is this one, A Decided Novelty. The Essential Guide to Black Pro Wrestling History, 1880 to 1950. So I've got some
1880.
Reading.
1880. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I've got some reading to do. I absolutely loved that Carl Stern omnibus of professional wrestling. One of the my favorite things that I've read over the past few years. And I can't wait to dive into these. So thanks, Amazon guy and Ian Douglas, for writing them.
Well, how long do you think it's going to take to do these filthies? How many categories do we have?
Well, today we have the Class B Awards,
Ooh.
Brian. My plan was to actually, because no one does a mid-year awards on our site, do they?
No, they don't.
No. So I might as well actually do it for real, and we can do that on my next appearance on Wednesday this week, but we actually have, because you were the one that brought it up. I said, "Hey,
well, you wanted Christmas in July, and I didn't want to drink in July, and so I figured this would be, you know, you can drink when you read your Class B awards if you want to.
Well, you don't have to drink. You could do some harder drugs if you'd like.
No, stop.
No, okay. So, I remember, yeah, a few years ago I did this, and it was the Class B awards, I believe. So I went back and looked, and Brian, what a set of awards I have here. Should I get right into it since we're talking
No. We got to do some important
stuff first. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. Hey, I got a couple of important notes, and then we'll get into the filthies. And we have some TV notes as well.
13 categories.
13 categories. Oh, my God. Well, first off, we got Raw tonight. It's Sami Zayn and Bron Breakker. Bronson Reed versus Jey Uso. Roxanne Perez versus Kairi Sane. Seth Rollins and Penta and Becky Lynch will appear live. So, of course, these are all, I mean, there's a lot coming up this weekend. We got NXT tonight, or tomorrow night, with Hank and Tank against Shawn Spears and Nico Vance for the tag titles. A gauntlet match with Ricky Saints against Jackson Drake, Ricky Smokes, and Brad Baylor.
Oh, yeah. The Vanity Project.
Yes. Joe Hendry and Mike Santana versus Tyson and Tyreek, and Charlie Dempsey versus Tavion Heights. Dynamite Wednesday has Moxley, Claudio, and the Young Bucks against Hangman, Ospreay, Shibata, and Hobbs, which sounds awesome. We got Tekla, Ty Mello, Queen Aminat, and Megan Bain in a four-way for the number two spot in the Casino Gauntlet. Samoa Joe, Wheeler, Yuta, Mercedes and Tony Storm will go face-to-face, and MJF and Mark Briscoe will have a talky-talk. And that, of course, leads to the weekend. We'll get into those lineups later on. But All in Texas, Great American Bash, Saturday night's main event, Evolution, and then Raw on Monday. Are you watching all of it, Tom? What's your plan? I'll tell you my plan in a minute.
I've got to check the MMA schedule as well.
God, you know, the Turkish oil wrestling.
Oh my gosh. Actually, the big championships are this weekend in Kirkpinar, the 664th straight Kirkpinar oil wrestling championships, won by 36-year-old Orhan Okalu. What a fantastic 2 days of UNESCO heritage recognized wrestling events there. But I'll probably watch all of it. I mean, maybe I'll skip like Collision and Dynamite this week, but once the weekend hits, I'm not on the road.
I don't think there is a Collision this week.
It's Thursday.
Oh, wait, no, they have to be. Yeah, so there is a Thursday Collision.
It's on Thursday, they said on this edition.
Because they did announce a match, actually.
I'll probably watch Saturday night's main event. I'll probably watch All In. There is actually, I know there's a UFC with Derek Lewis in the main event, so maybe I'll just watch wrestling.
Hey, I should mention this. If you're listening to this for free, well, you should sign up today. Because if you get a one-month subscription, you're going to get all of this weekend's coverage and all of the SummerSlam two-day weekend coverage with all of the other shows. Oh. And hold on, this weekend alone, this is the plan. Vinny's moving in, basically. We are going to watch all three shows, and I believe the plan is we are going to do a podcast after all three shows, and then I'm going to do another one with Dave late Saturday night, okay?
So you're going to do, hold on, you're going to do one podcast that'll cover all three shows or one free show?
No, after each show.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, we're going to watch a show, do a podcast. Watch a show, do a podcast. Watch a show, do a podcast. And then I'm going to do four shows is the plan this coming Saturday. Now, granted, something could go wrong. So, like, if I miss one show or something like that, like, you're still going to get another 84 shows over the course of the month. But we're probably going to do another move-in, my guess would be, for SummerSlam weekend as well. So, yeah. You know, some people were like, oh, man, I can't believe you're not going to All In, you know, this or that. Guys, do you realize, as a subscriber, you're going to get significantly more because I'm not going to All In? You're going to get four podcasts in one day. So, I would sign up now if you'd like to. WrestlingObserver.com for the main site. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Just depends on how you want to do it. And hey, if you are a first-timer, F4WOnline.com/new, you can get half off for the entire site and listen to another 15,000 podcasts if you really want to, dating back to 2005. So sign up, everybody. You know, it's funny. I want to mention this very quickly. Remember how Alexa Bliss was in the Royal Rumble?
Yes.
Yeah. And you remember how, like, Dave was doing the story about, they're at a contract impasse. Like, I don't think she's going to be in the Rumble. Like,
yeah, they had to bring in Mojo Rawley
to
fix it up.
And I will admit, even I was skeptical of this, okay? But he's like, I don't think she's going to be there. Like, they can't come to an agreement. And I said, because that story had come out like a week earlier, and it's like, a week earlier, you're telling us that she has no deal. And then, of course, she showed up at the Rumble. And then, you know, everybody on Twitter's like, Dave sucks at his job. He's wrong all the time, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, Alexa just did an interview on the Nikki and Bree show. And you'll never guess what she said. She said she got the call to be in the Women's Rumble Saturday midnight the night before. She said she hadn't fully decided until 4 a.m. And then she gets another call at 5, and they said, you got to be on the plane by 10 a.m. So she got on the plane at 10 a.m. the day of the Rumble, flew there, they covered her up and hid her. She arrived at 4, and the match was at 6. So in fact, it was exactly what David reported, and last second agreement to make it to the Rumble and get out there. And that is from Alexa Bliss. So I bring it up because this happens not just stories where, you know, people think we were wrong and then later someone does an interview and confirms that we were right, but also the opposite, which is, you know, we complain that something sucks and then everybody rushes to its defense. And then, like, a year later, somebody involved does an interview, and they go, yeah, that totally sucked. But anyway, Alexa, last-minute entrant into the Royal Rumble. Back with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to do some TV notes and a little bit more news, and then we'll get into the filthies in the next segment. Bayley is doing a fundraiser to raise money for fundraising the Texas floods. 80 people killed, more than 80 people killed. 27 campers and counselors from the All Girls Camp Mystic Yeah, she's auctioning off some gear, and all that money will be going to a fundraising effort. So, yeah, sucks.
Like, the worst story I've ever heard in my life, one of them. Hopefully, you know, I mean, I know AEW's in Texas this week. You know, I don't know if there's any efforts made on that end, but I would love to see something done for, you know, those families from both companies.
We've got WWE announcing there will be, quote, a special episode of NXT in August. They're going to be running the August 19th edition from the Met in Philadelphia. And it is about 5 miles away from the 2300 arena. And this is another one. You guys remember that story about WWE? They were going to run the 2300 arena for NXT. And apparently they did book a date. And then after they booked a date, there was like not a lot of communication. And then apparently the communication, it didn't go well, and now they don't have a date. So, but you know, they're at the Met. Huh. We'll try and put a damper on all these shows that AEW is running. Which, I mean, they're not doing well anyway. It's just like, here's the thing. So AEW is running a bunch of shows in Philadelphia, and I think it's Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they're not doing very well because it's actually very much like WWE this weekend. So, granted, these shows are not all in Texas, but you know, WWE decided they're just going to run all these shows, and we got the women's show, and we've got the Great American Bash NXT show, and we've got the Saturday Night's Main Event show, and this, that, and the other, and none of them are doing particularly well. Like Evolution is doing actually, by WWE standards, quite bad. And the NXT show is really doing actually horrible because they're running like the 700 seat
center stage
and they've only sold like 500 tickets.
MLW has sold that out multiple times in the past year.
Yeah. And even Saturday Night's Main Event. I mean, we're talking, this show is in Atlanta. It is Goldberg's retirement match for the world title in his hometown. And they still have 2,000 tickets left for this coming Saturday. They're at 10,700 tickets. And the building's set up for almost 13,000. So, yeah. I don't know, man. But, hey, you know, and it doesn't look like it's hurting AEW at all because they're over 20,000. Legit over 20,000 for that show. So, there you go. All right, what else do we have here? Taichi is in the G1. Goto, who lost the IWGP title last week to Zack Sabre Jr., he is out of the G1 due to an elbow injury. And so they had a last chance gauntlet with Chase Owens, Taichi, Ishii, and Kojima. And it came down to Taichi and Ishii, and apparently I got to watch that match tonight because apparently this match was like unbelievably amazing, and Taichi won. So the G1 Climax Block A has Taichi, Bolton Oleg, Yuya Uemura, Yota Tsuji, David Finlay, Evil Sonata, Tanahashi, Callum Newman, and Ryohei Oiwa. And Block B has Phantasmo, Shota Umino, Shingo, Zack Sabre Jr., Great O'Conn, Gabe Kidd, Ren Narita, Takeshita, Drilla Maloney, and Yoshihashi. So that's the lineup for this year's G1. Should I ask if you're excited? No? Okay. I understand. SmackDown on Friday, Tom. Anything that people must see? I would say, let's look here. Maybe Andrade and Rey Fenix versus Fraxium.
That was a fantastic.
I think that's pretty much it.
Tag match, yeah.
Yes.
All four men were cooking with hot grease, as the kids say. They were out of control in there, and the big win by Rey Fenix and Andrade. As it looks like they're setting them up for a run at the tag gold. My guess would be I guess the Wyatts are going to win the tag belts this week.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not. Here's the deal, okay?
You can't handle it?
Well, no, here's the thing. So I talked about this on another show. There's a big difference between Triple H and Vince when it comes to booking, okay? In some ways, they book similar, but there's two big differences, okay? One of them is, if you get over organically, like it wasn't the plan, but you managed to get yourself over, LA Knight's a good example, they'll go with it. And Vince would not do that. If LA Knight started getting over and Vince thought he was a geek, like, he's done, okay? It's just not going to work. The other big difference is, like, I just feel if the Wyatt Six had that match that they had with the Motor City Machine Guns, like, 3 weeks ago, which was so bad, and it was all the Wyatt's fault, and it was so bad that Dexter Lumis started dropping F-bombs on live TV because he was just so lost, like, Vince, it would have been over. That's the last, I mean, they would have been jobbed out and it would have been done. But, like, you know, you can see that Hunter, he had a plan. Like, they're running through this division until they get a tag title match. And so after that horrific match, they still have been beating teams every single week. They're really not very good in the ring, and the crowd doesn't really care about them except for their entrance. So I cannot fathom they put the tag titles on the worst team in the SmackDown tag team division. I think they ran through everybody to the title shot, and then they're going to lose. That's my prediction.
Let's
bets?
Figure it out. Well, I don't want to take a bet because I don't know who's going to be in that match. You know what I mean?
If that's it's true. Like, there could be 50 Lumis teams.
If it's Lumis and Gacy, then yeah, I don't see them necessarily winning. But you put Uncle Howdy in the mix. You put the Vintner in there. And I think we're looking at new tag team champions.
And then man, Solo's a geek. What a geek.
I think he's supposed to be.
Well, he is, but like, what a geek. I don't know. They already beat the guy. Fat two.
Does it matter? They beat him 900 times earlier in the year as well.
It's bad enough that he won the title.
It's just so Fatu can win it again at SummerSlam, probably.
I guess.
Re-coronate him as the champion of the United States of America. You know what I mean?
I can't do it. I've been trying.
That was pretty good.
Yarmin. I love how he's got three things. There's three things
Arabic,
but that people love Fatu saying. And so now he just screams the same three things as he's beaten dudes in the backstage area. He's beaten down Solo's geek bloodline while screaming, all gas, no brakes. I'm dying. He's the best. And then if you did not see Collision, I mean, dude, just watch the whole show. This Collision was awesome. Highlighted by this FTR versus Outrunners match. Yeah, this was the best match, dude. It was so awesome. And yeah, if they would have won with that. And, you know, Dave said it, but I also had like a bunch of people at the show, like fans who were in the front row. And they were like, oh my God, when the Outrunners hit that shatter machine on FTR, I mean, it was molten lava. And if they would have got the pin there, Jiminy Christmas. But still, I mean, one way or the other, the match ruled, and that was just great. And everything else on the show, I mean, there was nothing bad on the show, with the exception of, I don't know why Nick Wayne wasn't the one to pin Shelton Benjamin, since they then made it a three-way. You know, it's actually a three-way match for the tag titles at the pay-per-view now. And so that was kind of weird. But other than that, I mean, you know, that was a good match. Shelton actually lost. You know, the RPG Vice and Echi Cero versus Mystico Hologram and Mark Briscoe. That was great. Even Max Caster made me laugh. Finally, when he comes out and he does his stupid gimmick and the fans won't sing along, and then he just sadly goes, guys, this is my life's work. It's like, oh my God. That was the saddest thing I've ever heard. And then Anthony Bowens, I think they're going to put him back together again. He's lost. And, the women's eight-person, Amanada, Rosa, Anna Jay, and Ty versus Tekla, Julie Hart, Athena, and Megan Bain. It's a good match. And, like, they're getting all of these women. They're getting them in the ring every single week. And you can see that, like, even just once a week, wrestling consistently, like, everything's better. They just need reps. And then the Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia main event with Adam Cole. It was a good match, and it had the kind of understated story of Adam Cole nearly got Daniel Garcia killed twice. So I think Garcia is costing Cole to match it at All In. Fletcher will be the new champion. But good match. Good match in the ring. So of the two shows, if you have both on your DVR, you'll have time to watch one. Absolutely watch Collision. It's one of the best collisions in months. When we come back, it's time for the Mid-Year Filthy Awards, Class B Awards. Back in a moment, Observer Live. There we go, Dom. Yarr mean? Getting better? Practice makes perfect. I may not look it, but I'm a Mexican on the inside. Hey, we got these filthies? Let's do it.
We do. I was just trying to think of a quip.
You couldn't.
After what you just... I thought of quite a few.
You didn't need to is the point. I handled it all myself.
All right, Brian. So once again...
I know Jacob isn't Mexican. I am. We roll our R's. Jiminy Christmas. Go ahead.
No self-respecting Mexican would say Jiminy Christmas. Ever.
Jiminy Christmas. That's what they'd say. Go ahead. What's up with your hair? God. All right.
What's up with your hair? Huh? What is that?
I don't know.
Would you use...
I didn't use anything. That's the problem.
All right. So let's get to these. The mid-year, the Class B Awards, the Class A Awards on their way. My next appearance this week. So we start off, Brian, with the most impressive wrestler.
The most impressive wrestler.
Most impressive. Some of the contenders. Oba Femi, very impressive. What do you think? He's an impressive guy.
I guess, yeah. I
like Bozilla. Him.
Sure.
Another impressive wrestler. But to me, you know who the most impressive person I've seen this year is?
Who's that?
The new Hayabusa.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's this year's most impressive wrestler.
I think so, because that Hayabusa is out there doing not only a tribute act, but nailing it at the highest level of difficulty setting you could possibly do. So the 2025 Fire Festival Tournament Winner of the Year, also my most impressive wrestler.
Wow.
Check him out.
Yeah. Wow.
Next, we have the strongest wrestler. And until I am proven differently, based on the grip test I did years ago and what I've observed since then, you'd think somebody like maybe JC Mateo would be the strongest. Maybe even a really big guy like Bronson Reed. But like I said, until I'm proven differently, until what I've seen is shown not to be true, the strongest wrestler I've seen, Brian, Toru Yano.
Oh, I thought I was going to
get one. Toru Yano closed
really
the grippers with ease.
You know, I had a friend back when I was like a white and a blue belt, and his name was Thad, which was a great name for this guy. He was a big, like, just a big, strong, he was a fireman, big, strong dude. And I don't remember, like, they had the grip test that they do for the firemen. And, you know, I'm just going to throw out numbers. I don't know what the numbers actually are. But, like, you know, second place, I think when they squeezed that gimmick, they squeezed, like, a 70 or something like that. This freaking guy squeezed, like, a 210. Like, he just crushed everyone by more than double. He was so strong. And he was good at jiu-jitsu. That was a rough period of my life, let me tell you. Those grippers.
Yano, high-level amateur wrestler, also carries around all those gimmicks all the time.
Yeah.
So he's got to be strong, right? The most unimproved, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh.
Are you going to argue with me?
Yeah, I was going to say like Tiffany Stratton. And nothing against her, but like she's one of many that have moved up to the main roster and we don't see that rapid improvement that we see all the time. How can you say that about poor Tanahashi?
Has he gotten better?
Well, no, but I mean...
Well, there you go. God. The most obnoxious...
Filthy Tom Lawler.
He's in the running.
Oh, good.
You know, there's people like Ricochet, who does a great job.
No, he had no way he better not win this award.
He's, like I said, he does a great job being obnoxious. You have people like Logan Paul, who are just naturally obnoxious. But to me, the most obnoxious thing, Brian, in 2025 in the wrestling world, the promises, the threats, and then the delivery of the new NWO with Bischoff, Hogan, and Izzy Martinez.
God.
As they ruin the hopes and dreams of amateur wrestling fans across America. Now would be a great time for amateur wrestling to get some footing.
I remember when they started this thing, and I was like, this ain't going to work. And I had people go, what are you talking about? Look at like the, you know, they draw 20,000. Well, they're at 410 tickets for this debut show. 410 tickets. I almost dropped an F-bomb.
It could work, but the odds are stacked against them due to this NWO. You know what I mean? They were lamented for killing the business 25 years ago, and now they're here killing the amateur wrestling business at a perfect time. And now in the future, people will point to this and go, hey, there, Hulk Hogan, all these guys were backing it. The NWO was there, and it didn't work. Sad. Obnoxious. The best babyface.
Thank you.
You are in the running, but to me, 2025 has so far been the year of John Cena.
He's the best babyface.
He's getting huge reactions from the crowd.
He's not the best babyface.
They're cheering him just like they did years ago. We want Cena. Cena sucks as loud as ever.
You know what?
Like when he was at the height of his popularity.
I understand your comedy and such, but it's Jey Uso. I mean, whatever you think about the guy, that yeeting thing, that's all people want to do is yeet. They just want to yeet.
Best heel, Matt Riddle. If you don't believe me, you can check out his feet pics on his new OnlyFans.
What?
The biggest shock of the year for me was the story about someone coming up masked onto Maven's porch and threatening his life, leading to him buying a home security system.
Really?
Biggest shock of the year. Yep.
Wow.
The hardest worker. You can look at somebody, you know, someone like Masha Slamovich out there wrestling some of the best wrestlers in the world every week, some of the worst wrestlers in the world every week, all across the world every week. Maybe LA Knight, who's seemingly on
LA Knight
WWE show after show after show.
Isn't that everybody?
Alec Price, the Prize City OG, one of the top independent workers. But the hardest worker I've seen this year, Brian, for his efforts in the third round against Butterbean, it's Minoru Suzuki.
I guess. I guess. I did not watch that match and think, my God. Actually, you know what I did? For Minoru Suzuki, okay? For Minoru Suzuki, like, he decided, I have to try now. And he wasn't intending to do that.
The worst on interviews, the UFC's Minty Betts.
What?
Not only do you lose a ton of money if you listen to her, but she also glitches on occasion.
That's not good. Like Dave?
And forgets what bet somebody else picked for her that she's supposed to be plugging. So,
no, I thought you meant not a good. Technical glitch.
Most embarrassing wrestler, you could point at some people's in-ring skills, but to me, Brian, Tiffany Stratton. Because if you are a fan of sports, perhaps you saw her pitch at the Mets game.
I heard about it.
No person could believe she's an athlete, let alone a world champion athlete, let alone a world champion wrestler. Close second on the embarrassment list, Royce Isaacs. For losing. Not only did he lose the New Japan Strong Tag titles, he failed the Pizza Pie Guy Pizza Challenge, and now that restaurant closed.
What did she do?
Did you see it?
Oh my God. This is the one where she claimed she did it on purpose?
I don't believe that for a second.
Well, you know, Tom, you said that nobody could watch this and think that she is a world-class... What did you say? A world-class athlete? A world champion?
A world champion wrestler.
Well, I coached gymnastics for a long time, and I can tell you this. It was astounding how often you would see kids that could do, like, incredible stuff on the beam, and then they would walk outside and trip over a curb and just do the dumbest physical stuff. Like, it was astounding, but it happens. So, that's par for the course for a gymnast, that bad pitch.
We have, I believe, three more categories here.
I think the first one, where the guy that's supposed to catch the ball, just like, he's like, what?
Can't. He's a professional.
Why did you throw it at that camera person over there? Which is a good question, by the way. She didn't even throw it at the catcher. She threw it to her right at a camera guy. Yeah.
Embarrassing.
It was bad. I could do better. That's all you need to know.
Worst non-wrestling personality, speaking of you could do better.
Oh, stop.
A former winner of this category, Brian Alvarez, a front runner every year, up there with now this Dante Turo character on Twitter, who's... But I got to say, the worst non-wrestling personality, the person who I hated seeing more than anyone else on wrestling TV this year, Travis Scott.
Ooh.
Travis Scott. He's the worst, and that Fiend song just permeated.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania.
Every WWE television show.
I got something. Hold on.
Months. All right. He's going to go get the award. Sorry to ruin it. Yeah, Travis Scott. And now we haven't seen him since. So not only does he show up, punch Cody Rhodes in the face, injure him. He shows up at WrestleMania. Everybody's waiting for The Rock. We don't even get The Rock. We're stuck with Travis Scott. And now there's been no payoff.
Well, I honestly am not sure you're going to see much more of Travis Scott.
Good.
Hey, don't think I'm not proud of this, Tom.
Beautiful.
2020 Filthies. Worst non-wrestler.
God.
Brian Alvarez. This was when we were teaming together, by the way.
The bi-decadial Filthies. And two more segments, Brian. Two more categories.
What's this guy doing?
This one near and dear to you. It's been about damn time, I think, that your work gets a little bit of recognition.
Oh,
so
here we go.
The best three-man team from the Brian and Vinny and Craig show. None other than Vinny, Craig, and Sean.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it. You're a horrible person.
I am.
You're the worst non-wrestler.
I am a horrible person. But not only, Brian, am I a horrible person. There is one more category to go, and it is, well, I'll just tell you, the winner is the man you're looking at, Filthy Tom Lawler, the most washed up wrestler.
I thought you were going to say the most crooked wrestler.
No.
Most washed up. You're not washed up. You're crooked, if we're being honest. Do you understand? Tom, if that match... I swear to God, I'll tell you after the break. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Tom, do you remember Ric Flair's last match?
Yes.
Atrocity. Do you remember Butterbean and Suzuki?
Yes.
Atrocity. And there have been many others as well where you watch a match and maybe it's somebody's retirement match. And you just watch that match and you go, that guy had no business being in the ring. Hopefully we don't see that Saturday with Goldberg's final match. But the point is this, Tom. I have a filthy award for you because I was there for what could be your final match. Hopefully not. But certainly at this point, you haven't wrestled since. And I must say that your match with TJP was the best match I have ever seen where one guy had no business being in the ring. I'm not kidding. I mean, I couldn't even believe my... Like, I was in the back.
No. Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
No. He had a torn pec, but like, he clearly could gut through it. You were like, I could not believe you were going to do a match. I watched you walk to the ring. I watched you backstage. I begged you to like, you remember all of this. And then I watched that match and I was like, oh my God. Like, it was honestly one of the better matches I've seen you in. And you were immobile. So anyway.
Well, up for Wrestler of the Year on my next appearance will be TJP, perhaps.
Congratulations, Tom. Best match involving a guy who had no business being in the ring. We're out of time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Sign up now. You can get this whole month all in SummerSlam and so much more. And you won't regret it. We'll talk to you next time, Wrestling Observer Live.